You are listening to The Retirement Conversation, focusing on the changing nature of retirement today and the non-financial aspects of a successful retirement transition. Join Joe and Dennis and learn from leading experts in the field, as well as the stories of people who created interesting second acts as they share practical ideas and tips to create your own. Check out our website at retirementwisdom.com, where you can download our free workbook, access other free tools and resources, and learn more about how coaching can help you. The best way to support this podcast is to head over to Apple Podcasts and post a rating and comment. It's easy and it's free. Join our conversations and get wiser about your retirement.
Welcome to today's conversation with our guest, Jan Zacharias. Jan is a certified professional coach specializing in midlife transitions, focusing on the changing needs of baby boomers as they redefine aging today. The founder of Coaching for Resilience, Jan is passionate about helping people gain courage and resilience through significant work, health, and family changes so they can reframe their lives and thrive moving forward. Along with individual coaching, Jan provides life purpose and energy leadership assessments and interactive workshops on resilience, retirement lifestyle planning, and how to manage change successfully. Jan's career spans the private and public sectors in healthcare. Most recently, she directed an award-winning program designed to cultivate positive aging in those who are 55 and over. This innovative program focused on health and wellness, social connectivity, and strategies for creating a fulfilling retirement. Jan received a coaching certification from IPEC, the leading coach training program in the United States. She earned her master's in human organization science from Villanova University and her BS in individual and family studies from the Pennsylvania State University, where she graduated as a valedictorian. An active community leader, Jan is co-chair for the Philadelphia chapter of the Life Planning Network and serves on its national board. She developed the Sandwich Generation series to provide life-changing support to boomers in caregiving roles for their aging parents and children. Jan, thanks so much for joining us today. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, Dennis, I think you covered it all beautifully.
Jan, thanks so much for joining us. It was very interesting to hear your bio. What led you to become a coach?
Well, great question, Joe. It's really the result of my own midlife rediscovery and reinvention process. Back in my early 40s, after nearly 20 years of corporate life, I quote unquote mini retired from the pharmaceutical marketing research industry to be a full-time at-home mom, which was also one of my personal goals. And even though this was a self-initiated move for a lot of very positive reasons, I have to say I was really surprised at the full array of feelings I experienced. I found myself having to redefine myself as I gave up my badge of honor as, you know, full-time corporate mom with two kids and doing it all. I quickly learned that I really needed to continue to contribute outside of the home too, to fully satisfy my sense of purpose. So I became what my husband liked to call me, the busiest quote unquote retired person around, volunteering in many leadership capacities in the nonprofit world. Then as things, you know, moved on and I became an empty nester, it seemed to be time to reinvent myself again, and that's when I started working with the over 50 population, realizing and really relating to the importance of keeping up with all the changes that were happening in my life, and realizing that I really wanted to help others maximize this time of their lives as well. And ultimately, a good friend of mine became certified as a coach and recommended that I get certified as well. She felt it would be a great skill set with, or a great fit with my skills. I had a counseling background also, marketing and people management, and my, you know, continued desire to want to help and contribute to others. So as I look at it really now, coaching really is the culmination of all of my previous experience and a new impactful way that I'm using my skills to contribute to others.
And what are the biggest challenges that you see your clients facing in mid to later life?
I'd say there's three main areas. One is effectively managing change. The second is loss and burnout. Starting with change, you know, midlife is really a time of many, many changes in roles and responsibilities. And truly, this can be very, very unsettling to people. Some of the biggest changes that I work with people on include becoming an empty nester. It becomes a time to re-explore your marriage with your spouse and re-examine where you are And sometimes it's an opportunity for things to get even stronger and better. And sometimes people decide they want to part ways at that point. So empty nesterhood, big time of change. Late stage job changes as well, you know, and whether that comes in the flavor of retirement, you know, by choice, making those plans and actually stepping off out of the workforce, or there's a lot of retirement, early retirement that happens not by choice, where people are right-sized out of their current positions and left scratching their heads a bit. And then also diagnosis of a chronic illness, let's say in a parent or a spouse or even yourself, that impacts your lifestyle. So these are some of the biggest changes that I see going on at this time with people I work with. Second area is loss. And I know we typically immediately gravitate to thinking about loss of loved ones. And of course, that's the most severe type of loss and unfortunately becomes more commonplace as we get older. But along with all the changes we were just talking about, there's a lot of other kinds of losses. There's losses of roles, responsibilities, you know, particularly for men when they retire, giving up that breadwinner role and the relevance and stature that that brings to them. A loss of functionality can take place visually that may impact one's ability to drive and then their independence. There sometimes can be a loss of direction, of feeling not real certain where I want to go from here. And ultimately, some loss of identity of, you know, just who am I at this time of life? And as people find themselves in unfamiliar territory, often there can be a loss of a confidence, a feeling of being displaced, and even feeling very lost and embarrassed, you know, feeling like, hey, gosh, at this stage of life, you know, given all my experience, shouldn't I be able to handle all this? So it's also embarrassing. The third area is burnout. And I see that come out in a couple different ways. One is exhaustion from managing multiple demanding roles simultaneously, needing to do more with less resources, juggling work and home demands and caregiving responsibilities, the needing to be there for your adult children and your grandchildren and your partner and your aging parents. It really can amount to a lot of exhaustion and want to be doing something different, worn out. And so sometimes with burnout, and even for people not without burnout, it becomes a time when people start to think about what else do I really want to be doing with my life? What's really important to me? And start to look for more meaningful things and ways to contribute to the greater good and to make this more of a focus in their lives. And they wonder, how can they do this, and are challenged to figure out what else is it that I want to do?
One area that your coaching focuses on is resilience. I'm curious, why is resilience so important in mid to later life, in your opinion?
Well, I think resilience is just one of the most important things that you can have in midlife. I really see resilience as an antidote for managing many of the mid and later life changes that we were just talking about. It's really an essential tool to help you navigate through, you know, the different bumps in the road that come up, and to help you not only bounce back from setbacks or disappointments or worries, but resilience done the right way really can enable you to come out of it even stronger than ever as a result of the experiences you've had and what you've learned from them. So I really see there's just incredibly widespread application for resilience in midlife. And, you know, resilience is a key life skill. And if you think about it, you know, nobody really taught us how to become resilient in school. So that's why I build resilience into my coaching, and I actually teach it in workshops. Midlife, again, is really a prime time to bone up on this skill because of this landscape of change. And for example, in my Midlife Reboot workshop, I work with people, I help people to take the initial first five steps to building their personal resilience. And that very first step involves, you know, getting in touch with what resilience is, making it real for them, intangible, attainable. And we do this through a variety of, you know, exercises, hands-on exercises that helps them to be able to be in touch with the feeling of resilience, who were their role models, Who have they seen bounce back effectively? And most importantly, looking within yourself as your own role model, what are some of those times in your life when you've overcome some sort of adversity and you've bounced back and come back stronger than ever? You know, how did you do that? And how did that feel? And really getting in touch with that feeling are some of those really key initial steps with resilience.
On our podcast, we always like to tee up some of the longest running debates. And one of the longest running debates of all time is nature versus nurture. Mm-hmm. Do you think resilience is an innate trait or a skill that people can learn?
Well, I think it's really a hybrid of both. You know, we are all born with certain inherent strengths. And so, you know, some of us are naturally stronger in certain areas and others are stronger in other areas. So we all do have our inherent strengths. So yes, I think that there really is an innate aspect to resilience. But at the same time, you can learn to become resilient. And the great news is that you can learn to become more resilient no matter how young or old you are. And to me, that's a really very empowering feeling. And it really gives you, or gives me certainly, a great sense, a greater sense of control and optimism that things can be different, that I can go through the, get through this hurdle, and things will indeed get better. There are actually 9 character traits associated with resilience as we age. Things like open-mindedness, perseverance, humor. And the model that I work with is based on positive psychology and work that was done out of the University of Pennsylvania. And in essence, by strengthening these specific character traits, you can actually learn to become more resilient. In my Roadmap to Resilience workshop, what we actually do there is we take a deeper dive into building each of these traits, again, through practical exercises. And I look at resilience as a muscle. So the more you practice using these traits, the stronger your resilience muscles become.
When you were talking about some of the challenges, I noticed that a lot of them related to changes and transitions. And we all know that transitions, by definition, are challenging, especially in mid to later life. And I haven't seen many GPSs or apps yet for those.
Right.
Keep looking. But as a coach, how do you help people work through different types of life transitions in their 40s, 50s, and 60s and beyond?
Yeah, great question. I help people really to shift their mindsets into some more productive directions. You know, you can't always control the circumstances that, you know, fall on your doorstep. For example, being diagnosed with an illness yourself or a family member, or being laid off from a job. Some of those things just are beyond your control. But the one thing that you can always do is you can always choose how you respond to those circumstances. And when people realize that, they start to regain the control that they feel they've lost. And that's just a really important feeling and step for them. There's something called the law of expansion. And what that's about is whatever you focus on gets bigger. So let me give you an example. Let's say you decided you're gonna buy a car and you're thinking about, you know, you pretty much made up your mind you wanna buy a Honda Accord. So you're driving down the road, and then next thing you notice, oh, there's the silver Accord, and oh, there's the hybrid model, and there's the base model, and everywhere you look, all of a sudden, every other car on the road is a Honda Accord. So why is that? Well, it's because it's what's on your mind. It's what you're focusing on and what becomes your reality and what becomes into your viewpoint. So this really applies to both good things and bad things in our lives. So when we are brought down by some devastating circumstances, you know, you can either focus on being very angry about them and a victim of these circumstances, and, you know, why did this happen to me, and I can't believe it, and this is so unfair, and what am I going to do? I just, you know, don't know where to turn. It's natural to have those feelings, but by continuing to focus there, that's what keeps people stuck. And alternatively, if you can develop the ability to step back and shift your perspective and look for the opportunity in a challenging set of circumstances, this is how forward movement can begin. I like to look at it as, I have a little saying, life grows where your focus goes. So the choice really is yours. A couple of other things I do with people to help them through their midlife transitions is to get in touch with how much positive versus negative energy they live with in their lives. Positive energy is really the building, growing, thriving kind of energy. And you know, we all have people in our lives who bring that out in us, who are able to, you know, cheer us on and help us be bigger and go forward. Versus how much negative energy do you live with? That's what we call the catabolic energy, that is that victim and negative, angry kind of energy. And I do an assessment, an energy leadership index assessment, that helps you to get some concrete feedback about how much positive versus negative energy you live with under normal good circumstances, and where do you go when you're under stress. And by learning about these energetic levels, and there's actually 7 of these energetic levels, I can help people actually learn to shift their energy levels and shift from lower negative energy levels into higher ones more readily and quickly to move forward and resolve the issues that are weighing on them. I'm also a big proponent of people developing their own personal resilience team. You know, who are those go-to people in your life that you want to surround yourself with to help you when you are going down that rabbit hole? So think about who you want to hang out with. And finally, there's that aspect of helping people to give themselves permission, you know, to pursue the dreams they've always had, but either didn't or couldn't pursue earlier. And we, you know, kind of look at this together as an opportunity to see how might you act on some of those dreams at this time of life.
Great stuff, particularly the energy assessment that you're talking about. You can see how that'd be very powerful, getting a sense of the negative and positive energy and how you can shift that. Overall, Jan, how would you describe your coaching approach?
Joe, I take a very practical, solutions-oriented, an action-oriented approach. I keep things present time focused, and we really focus on the how-tos, how to start to move forward. What are the steps to take over worrying about all the whys? Why am I here? Sometimes we come up with some fabulous insights on those whys, but really more of the focus is on the how-tos. The whys are left more to work on with a therapist. And I work with people I'm a big proponent of taking small steps. You know, just being willing to dip your toe in the water, open the door just a tiny crack, and try something new, because that's the way you start to create momentum. And I bring a lot of heart to my coaching, as well as accountability. You know, we're goal-oriented, and you can count on me to hold you to those goals. And really, it's not being accountable to me that's the bottom line. The bottom line is being accountable to yourself. And in the coaching relationship, you know, we make sure that that happens. One other thing that I do that might be a little more unusual, I am a big proponent of resources. And while my role as a coach, my role is not to give people advice, but rather to facilitate a process that enables people to make the best choices for themselves. At the same time, I love resources, and I love researching what's out there for people in mid and later life. So I have a whole cadre of relevant resources and services, tools, experts that can help you, whether it's, you know, has something to do with caregiving or career exploration, whatever it might be. In essence, you can count on me to share it with you as a little, you know, some value add to your little tool chest, if you will.
Thank you for sharing all that, because it gives people a sense of what it might be like to work with you as a coach. And as a coach myself, I just underscore the important thing you brought up about your approach with heart and accountability, because that's a rare but important combination. So if people work with you, what are the benefits that you see your clients receiving from the coaching work that you do?
I think the biggest things that I see is people recapturing their confidence, developing their confidence again, and their courage to move forward. And that is such an important ingredient that really helps them to get unstuck. So again, building on those small steps that lead to large progress, and really also leads to less anxiety. Another benefit is really clarity. a lot of people will come in, and when we start talking, they're not really clear what their direction is. They're confused as to, you know, where to go. And they know they want to go somewhere, but not quite sure what it is and how to get there. And I do something called a Scopamax life purpose assessment also, which is a fabulous tool for people as they're looking to reinvent themselves. This life purpose assessment helps them to get in touch with what are their natural gifts that fulfill them, that come naturally to them, and that's their special way that they contribute to others. And by getting in touch with your life purpose at this time of life, really can serve as a guiding light for carving out your next steps in the reinvention process. Other benefits, people come out with a renewed sense of excitement and purpose and greater fulfillment in their lives. And finally, you know, that ability to really shift their mindset and learn to focus on the opportunity side of any challenge.
I'm particularly interested in, you mentioned again the importance of taking small steps. And I think that's so critical, and I'm glad you brought that up. And people think things become so overwhelming to them, but sometimes the answers are just taking a step.
Yes, breaking it down into little bite-sized pieces, absolutely.
Jan, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us and others about your coaching approach and how you go about it. A very helpful primer on coaching in general and your specific approach, and I really thank you for taking time to do it.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jan.
Thank you. My pleasure.
That was a great conversation with Jan. Dennis, what jumped out to you as some key takeaways?
Yeah, I agree. Jan was very thoughtful in all of her comments and had a lot of really good thoughts for people to consider. I think a couple of things. When she mentioned the three biggest challenges that she sees in people who are facing in mid to later life, she mentioned that effectively managing change and loss was her second one, and the third one was burnout. And I couldn't help but to think how spot on, not only spot on she was, but what happens when these challenges compound and they become one on top of the other. So you can be, you know, a late stage job change could be combined with a loss of direction, could be combined with a family event, etc. And she mentioned the importance of the power of resilience in regard to this, and she shared some things on to help people strengthen their traits associated with resilience and what she does to help them. And that is not to be understated. That was really good information. The other thing was the mindset shift, the importance of mindset shift. And people can't control what happens to them, but they can control about how they respond to things. That's advice I think a lot of people may have gotten in their lives, and it's really important to remember that it's the response that's our control. And the whole shifting your perspective, looking for opportunities is the path of the way forward. And I would also emphasize, as we did in the podcast, the importance of taking small steps. Don't try and do everything in one shot. Break it down into smaller pieces. It helps build momentum. Repetition can very much be your friend. Keep doing things over again until you make it more of a habit for yourself, et cetera. But certainly try things. Be patient with yourself. And I know, Joe, you'll touch on the coaching aspects, but getting a thinking partner with a coach can really be very powerful here. And so what about yourself?
A lot of things jumped out. A couple I'll highlight. First, the way she framed skill set. So she started talking about her own experience, having gone through multiple reinventions. And I think that's helpful for people to think about mid to later life. There's not just one transition, there are several that all of us can expect. And getting good at the skill of transitioning is important to think about. And then, of course, she talked about the related skill of resilience being something you really can learn and you can develop and how it comes in handy. She also mentioned it's a combination of traits and skill. But the skill part was intriguing. That's something you can learn, you can try, you can get better at. And it comes in handy and positions you really be able to handle circumstances as they change. And she talked about being able to have more control over them by choosing how you respond. I also like the mindset part, which talked about life goes where your focus goes. And I thought that was a great, great quote that it's good to keep in mind. I've experienced that same thing whenever I think about a car, getting a new car. You
sure.
see it everywhere.
Everybody has. Yeah, that's a great one. That was a great story on that one. Yeah.
But I also really appreciated her commentary on positive versus negative energy. And I think that's also something As she mentioned, people can assess and monitor, but also shift and change. So you really look at what are the sources of positive and negative energy in your life, and what can you do to generate more positive energy and minimize the negative energy. Some negative energy can be helpful. It's not something to totally avoid. You want to have a balance, but what can you do to really build that skill of how can I quickly create positive energy? That was, I like, really important people to keep in mind. And finally, on the coaching part, when she talked about heart and accountability, got my attention. I commented on it because I think that's the most important combination I've seen in coaches. In my training, one of the best books I read as part of the curriculum was a book by a coach out in the West Coast, Mary Beth O'Neill. I think she's up in Seattle. And the book was titled Executive Coaching with Backbone and Heart. And it's really having that combination of that Jan mentioned. And I think that that's important in looking for a coach. You want someone who can do both. A lot of times it's easy to hire coaches who connect with you on the heart side, who are likable or like you. But you really need someone who can do both because they're going to help you, as she talked about, move forward. So I was really glad to hear her mention that. But great insights and wisdom from Jan. Great to have her share that with us.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought up the energy thing, the positive energy. Positive energy is also can be very contagious. So can negative energy. I guess that's the other side of it. So there is something to keep in mind when it comes to positive energy, the impact on others.
Mm-hmm. So, well said.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us today on The Retirement Conversation. You can listen to all episodes of our podcast by subscribing to them on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, or on our website at retirementwisdom.com.